It's Monday night. That's when we bring you a little bit of Business Unboring with Business Insider South Africa writer Andrew Thompson. Tonight we're going to be talking about online betting and particularly sports betting. And we spoke last week to the CEO of bet.co.za and just the impact that this lockdown has not only had on South African betting, but also betting around the world, particularly seeing that most sport around the world has essentially been cancelled for the rest of the season. Predominantly, I'm talking about the football season. And in a normal year, South Africans bet billions of rands on the outcomes of horse races, football matches, and other numbers games. And by 2023, one report estimates that this number could hit 11.1 billion rand. But of course, COVID-19 has brought most traditional forms of betting to a grinding halt. All but the most mundane or obscure sporting events and races are off the cards, and retail outlets that traded in offline numbers games are completely all but shuttered. Instead of soccer and horses, South Africans are now betting millions on simulated sports. Andrew Thompson, freelance writer for Business Insider, joins me now on the line. You know, I've watched a YouTube video. My only sport that I'm getting nowadays, there's a channel that specializes in marble races. So there's a little track, a sand track. They let the marbles go, and there's a commentating on just how these marbles are going. We are really, really missing sport.
Yeah, I've seen that. I actually find it, I'm ashamed to say, I find it incredibly addictive. And by the end, as long as you pick one at the beginning and you root for it, I guess, like any form of sport, by the end, it's almost as exciting.
almost is the most operative word there. But pre-COVID-19, South Africa's betting landscape was quite predictable. It was growing. It was quite burgeoning. We had betting companies also acting as sporting marketing companies, even going as far as sponsoring, getting naming rights for even professional sports teams. Sports betting was really, really growing in South Africa pre-COVID-19.
Yeah, so I'm a big fan of sports and not a huge fan of the betting, but I didn't realize how much it actually pulled in and how many loyal bettors there are. So yeah, it's like you said, it was predicted to grow. I think it was year on year 10%, up to 11 billion by the end of 2023, but it's pretty much the rug's been pulled out from under it, and suddenly these guys, like the guy you spoke to last week, they're suddenly grappling on how to keep people interested until the real sport comes back into the fray.
But frequent gamblers are still wanting to scratch that itch. What are they looking into betting on nowadays? I see it's more simulated sport and simulated games that are online games rather that now get the punters going.
Yeah, so the online games are big around the world, the esports, and then betting in things like StarCraft and League of Legends. In South Africa, they were basically non-existent on a local betting front until COVID-19 hit. And the guys I spoke to from various betting agencies said they almost overnight had to pivot into creating a market for that. The difficulty that they say, though, is that that's a very different market in terms of the betting world, and that the guys who traditionally bet on horses and soccer, they want to bet on horses and soccer. So for that reason, they've brought in this weird sort of parallel universe of simulated sports, and then it's not quite the real thing, but it's enough to kind of keep the traditional bettors in the loop until the real sports can return.
But how does that work? You know, with real live, living, breathing, either humans playing football or some sort of sport, or actual horses, you know, running around a track. It's tangible. You can see it. You can read the reports on how they're doing health wise and how their mental state. If one, for example, football player's perhaps having a pretty bad week in his personal life, that could have an impact on the way he plays on the field. How do you even gauge who to bet for in a simulated environment?
Yeah, so there are two sides of it, and it was all a bit of an education for me as well, because it boggled my mind that There's one which is an animated sport which runs off an algorithm, and then that's essentially luck of the draw. You're picking blindly, and that actually even has a whole animated component to it that looks almost like the real thing that you can, and that's primarily for horse racing and football. And that's sort of like a side thing that's kind of keeping the random bettors interested. The one that really intrigues me is the simulated sports, which is basically what they've done is taken all the databases of previous matches between two teams, and what they're doing is aligning those with the international football leagues at the moment. So if Chelsea was going to be playing Man United, they'd pull every game that Chelsea has ever played against Man United. And you could then bet based on your knowledge of the history of the teams and your own patriotism or your own loyalty towards the team. And then it pulls a random number from a previous match. And then you've either won or lost based on that random draw from a previous match.
So it's basically like betting on someone else playing Football Manager Simulator. You know, there are games that you can play online and on PC games. I have quite a few friends who are quite keen on that. They play Football Manager, which is a simulator game. You choose your team. You go through all these sort of predetermined objectives, and at the end of the week, the simulated week, you hit play and the game plays automatically, and you are watching basically a computer model play for you based on the managerial picks that you've made.
I think it's less sophisticated than that. So I think that is probably too complex to bet on. And literally the two options that I heard from the guys I spoke to were, one was a random algorithm that literally just generated a random result, and you'd pick based on that. The other was literally based on past results on a win or lose or a score. And so it wasn't so much about sort of finessing your team and sticking with your loyal guys. It was more about the historical achievements of your team. So I guess in a way that if you're a staunch Liverpool supporter, you would probably bet for Liverpool, and you'd say, well, how do they stack up against Chelsea? And then you can pull on your historical knowledge of that and then feel sort of self-congratulatory at the end by either winning or losing based on historical knowledge of the teams. And that's essentially what it is. And one number that was quoted to me was 50,000 games went into the database. That's basically you basically pulling on your own historical knowledge out of 50,000 previously played games. So, I mean, to me, as a non-betting person, it all seemed a bit frivolous and a bit sort of meaningless. But I think the idea with this side is to keep the traditional bettors sort of in the loop, because the other sports that are available to bet on were really obscure horse races in Australia, somewhere in Sweden, and I think the US, and then things like the Belarus Soccer League and other bits and ping pong games. Those are the only other sort of sporting things that are.
So people are really engaged. Going to the absolute dregs of the live sport. There's a sporting channel that I go to that I stream from, and there was a time where it was the only football that was playing was the Thai League, and I think it was the Belarusian League, and I didn't know those players for Charlie, but you just sit there, you watch, and today I feel like screaming for Team Red, and then all of a sudden you're a fan of the Red team. But here's my thing. I do very little gambling of any sort. But I've done very, very, very little slot gambling or something that is electronic or simulated, because I have a little bit of doubt in the machine, in the algorithm, in the computation. I would rather play a game of actual skill, like sitting down with a group of mates and play a game of poker where I know exactly, I can see everyone around the table, than play an automated game. Is it finding, you know, support amongst punters, this simulated scene?
Yeah, it seems like it. And I think the difference is that the people who bet want to, what I learned in the process of writing this article was that the people who actually are, they don't really even watch the games. They're just throwing money down because they love the excitement of gambling. I think in terms of the South African stakes, they're not even close to hitting the betting figures. And it was explained to me that, you know, if you love betting, you'll put a few hundred bucks down on a soccer game in Belarus, but you're not going to be doing it the same as if it's Pirates versus Chiefs and you caught up in the hype of it. So the reality is that it's the betting industry is struggling. I think it's really going to be difficult for it to suddenly reinvent itself. But that said, I mean, depends how you gauge struggling. The one number quoted to me was several millions across all betting platforms that people are still betting on things like StarCraft and Dota and simulated sports. So it still is miraculously pulling in millions of rands as people sit at home, I suppose, with nothing better to do.
But what's the legalities of all of this? Online gambling is effectively banned in South Africa. Is it about going? Is it about bypassing it? Is it about betting on a platform that's in another country? How are punters getting past this?
So I think there's a lot of scrambling to get it done, and each province also has its own. In South Africa, has its own sort of legislation, or its own bylaws and its licensing options. And I'm no expert on it, but my understanding of it was that that a lot of these games come with built-in licenses that people have already bought. And what happens then is that these betting companies and gaming companies are buying a game with a license that has been approved, and they come with a lot of strange loopholes. So I was told there's an online wheel game, and I asked what an online wheel game was, and he said we're not allowed to call it roulette. We can only call it a wheel game. So yeah, I think there's a lot of sort of loopholes. They're all the guys that I spoke to were all above board and had all got some sort of license. But yeah, I think it, at this stage, it came down to whether you had the luck of the draw in terms of whether you had the license to play these wheel and number games or not. And at this stage, it's almost impossible to get those licenses.
For some of these games, it's basically like just betting on lotto numbers, isn't it?
Yeah. What really staggered me was that the guys I spoke to said that is the biggest puller or money puller in the betting industry. Is actually guys coming in, and they all had a slightly different name for it, but the sort of broad term is lucky numbers, which is basically like a lotto type thing. And the essence of it was that they were betting on a single number. And because that demographic is the type of demographic that doesn't really have cell phones and online accessibility, that whole section of the industry is done because they relied on people coming into stores and putting numbers down, putting money down on lucky numbers, which is, it staggered me there.
Monday night is the time we reserve for Business Unboring with Andrew Thompson. He is a writer for businessinsider.sa. We are talking about the area of sports betting in South Africa, but with most sport cancelled around the world, what is there left to bet on? Well, sports gambling companies and are finding a way, whether it is obscure sport, whether it is simulated sport, or whether it is e-sport. I find this quite interesting, Andrew. E-sports where, for example, you can play FIFA online and have two guys or girls, two people, put it against each other and play a video game and to simulate a real football match. But it's obviously controlled by two live people. The weird thing is this. You could have essentially a 13-year-old playing a football game which could make money for someone who is probably old enough to be his father or grandfather, instead of now in the past having to bet on the real live football player and team. Now they're betting on probably a 12 or 13-year-old to play this and win an esports game.
Yeah, I think it's there also must be some sort of moral issues around putting millions on a teenager in his bedroom to beat someone else. But yeah, it has sort of anonymized the whole thing as well, that you actually don't necessarily know. I know in the esports world, there's now the big celebrities that have come up through the ranks, and they are generating huge hype. But ultimately, yeah, it's less of this sort of knowledge of a historical sportsman who's sort of, you've watched him grow up, and more someone who's just there and has super quick thumbs, or I don't know, the ability to play a game better than anyone else. So it's another world, and I think South Africa was caught napping a little bit when it came to the betting and the online sort of admin of this all. But they've suddenly had to pivot, and they've, to their credit, the betting companies have somehow found a way and done it in sort of the course of a week or two.
Yeah, but despite all of this, nothing will be the same until especially football returns. Football is still the biggest bet on sport in the world currently, and when the season restarts, yes, there are now other platforms to bet on. Punters are going to go straight to their totes or to their places where they place their bets, and they're still going to be following the leagues around the world.
Yeah, and I think it'll be really interesting to track whether they come back in higher numbers and think, okay, well, I haven't spent that much in the last couple of months, or how the industry rebounds. And I think it's been one of the historically quite resilient industries in South Africa. And I think the idea is to just keep people interested and keep people sort of nibbling with these side games until the big guys, the soccer and the horse racing, come back with gusto.
You a betting man yourself, Andrew?
No, I'm not at all. So, I mean, I've dabbled once or twice, but after this, I think, I think maybe I'll put a bit of money down on a team in a simulated game and see how it pans out.
Now that is the reason you should be doing, and you should get Business Insider to pay for it. Put a few hundred bob.
Unlikely, but I'll pitch it forward and see if anyone bites.
Andrew Thompson there. He is a writer for businessinsider.co.za. He's with us every Monday talking to us about business. I'm boring. Andrew, thanks so much for joining us.